Today we're going to continue the series in the book of Acts, and today we'll be in Acts chapter 10. Now this is a powerful story of illumination, of a revelation, of something that I believe God is really taking this church down a road of understanding grace much deeper than you've ever understood it before. Now Peter, if you remember, he was one of the leading apostles of Jesus Christ, and he really had to be straightened out in an area. And some of you here today, along with this old preacher, needs to be straightened out in a lot of areas, and some of us in a little area, but this is probably one that you're probably going to struggle with. So right up front, I'm asking you to open your hearts and minds. Now let me ask you this question. Has God taken you deeper and deeper into His love and grace? That's a yes or no. Okay, He's going to continue to do that. And by the way, for you to grow in grace, you've got to be willing to repent. And that doesn't mean stop sinning. Repentance means a change of mind. You've got to change your mind. I used to think this because that's what I was taught, or that's what my mama said, or my grandmama said, or my pastor said. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's changing us. And we're having to say, you know what, I don't know about this, but you wrestle with it, and the Holy Spirit, He just kind of works it in, doesn't He? But anyway, you're going to have to do a little of that today, and it's going to piggyback actually on Philip's message last week and your discussion time. I didn't hear his whole message as I was getting it ready to put online, but I heard some of your comments, and it's powerful how the Lord has put what He did on my heart before I even heard what y'all talked about last week. So anyway, with that said, I've got a lot of scripture I want to read. Let's dive right into Acts chapter 10. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. Hey, that's what most people think it takes to be right with God. You realize that's not true, right? Okay. Amen. All right. Anyway, this person was an unbeliever. He was the first Gentile that we know of in Scripture that became a believer. Okay? Verse 3. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, Cornelius, talking about, had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel, and the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Just a comment here. I've heard preachers say that God only hears one prayer of the sinner or the unbeliever. He doesn't hear other prayers. Well, this proves that theory wrong. All right. Just that, no extra charge for that. Okay. All right. Verse 5 and 6. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. Now, I want you to notice how God orchestrates divine encounters. All right, He planted this in Cornelius' mind. Now notice what God does to bring Peter and him together. And God's working, by the way, to get His good news to all people. And we're just privileged to be a part of that, to be chosen by God. He doesn't have to have us. He can get it done without us, but we get the privilege of doing that. Verse 9 and 10. The next day, as Cornelius' messages were nearing the town, Peter went up on a flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. It's interesting. He was hungry, and God's going to use a illustration or a vision about food to get his attention. I thought that was cool. But while a meal was being prepared, evidently he wasn't cooking his own meal that day, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open up and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. And then he said something that should never fall off of your lips in the same sentence. You know what he said? Look at verse 14. No, Lord. Hey, don't be criticizing. We do it all the time. Now, I'm going to illustrate that a little bit. He said, no, Lord, Peter declared. I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. You see, Peter was a devout Jew before he met Grace and Truth. I was a devout church member until I met Grace and Truth. And then God had to change some things. He had to show me some things that you are placing value on that I don't even approve of. Man, I've had to do a lot of repenting. The law said you can't eat this type of animal. So that's what Peter was saying. He said, "No, Lord." Now, sadly, now I want you to listen to me. This is important. Sadly, instead of an angel, now an angel was speaking on behalf of God to Peter at this point. But instead of an angel speaking for God, it could be Philip Baker or Ron or Jerry or Dan or Carlton or Donna or Cynthia or Marva or any of you folks. Actually, just so I include everybody, when I say 1, 2, 3, I want you to call out your name out loud. Will you do that for me? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Instead of an angel, it could be you that is the mouthpiece for Grace and Truth. Amen. Okay? Could be old Carlton. But when you speak some of the truths that the Holy Spirit's teaching you, you're going to hear the words that Peter said. "No, Lord. No, Carlton. No, Philip. I don't believe that." And you know it's true, but they don't know it yet. So don't get too bent out of shape. Because as you're going to see, when Peter said, "No, Lord," God zapped him, didn't he? No, he didn't. I'm just kidding. That's what we think. He was so patient with him. Notice God is patient with those that are saying no to you, and they're saying no to God, actually. Look at verse 15. "But the voice spoke again." See how patient God is? "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." Now, we're going to come back to this point because we're struggling with this as believers, okay? Now, hang on to that verse. We're going to come back to that. God is so patient. Notice how he continued to work with Peter, even though he said, "No, Lord," okay? Verse 16 and 17. "The same vision was repeated 3 times. Peter was hard-headed. Carlton Rivers is hard-headed. Where's my wife? He may not be in here. Oh, my goodness. He's not hard-headed, is he, baby? Not at all. Ooh, we'll work online next week. She just told one. Okay. You know, I say that this church is not about behavior modification as far as me beating you on the head about it. But anyway, next week, I'm just kidding. Actually, we are about behavior modification, but we don't get there the way most churches do. Legalism says you stop this, you start that. But we say Jesus has finished it all. Focus on him. Now your behavior will begin to transform supernaturally. So we are about behavior modification. It's just not my job to straighten Carlton. I can't straighten myself out, much less you. I ain't even going to try. Okay? All right? I can't straighten my wife out, and she sure can't straighten me out. So we finally just gave up on that, didn't we, honey? Okay. What verse am I on? Y'all sidetracked me. Okay, here we go, verse 16. "The same vision was repeated 3 times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could this vision mean?" I love how the Lord works. Just as he was thinking that, he was orchestrating Cornelius' servants coming. And just then, verse 17, "Just then the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house standing outside the gate. They asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over this vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, 'Three men have come looking for you.'" Now, by the way, when God gets ready to take you deeper into grace, he pulls out all the stops. He first started with the angel. Now he pulls the big gun in, the Holy Spirit. He's going to talk to you through Carlton. He's going to talk to you through his word. The Holy Spirit is behind all truth. But anyway, I'm just saying, when God gets ready to get something in your head, he's going to be patient with you. And I believe we can slow that process down by saying, "No, Lord." But he's patient and he's kind. But here now, the Holy Spirit himself begins to take over. He says in verse 20, "Get up, go downstairs, go with them without hesitation. Don't worry now, Peter. I've sent them." He was saying this is a divine encounter. Wow. What if we had that attitude every day? Lord, that old boy I'm working for, or that I'm going to price this job, or I'm going to work, my coworker, you may have a divine encounter. Don't get anxious. I used to try to plan this out. You that have witnessed, you know what it's like. You've been through the Romans Road or the faith or whatever this plan. I'm not making light of those, but I tried to force it to happen, and I tell you, I was scared to death. I said, I just got to witness today because that's what the church said I had to do. And I'd try it, and I'd flatter around. And I'm telling you to stop that. Just rest, grow in grace, be sensitive. Say, Lord, I'm just open to you today. You're my mouthpiece. And let God bring that to you. Quit fretting about this thing. I'm telling you, I used to agonize because I felt like I was out of fellowship with God. I wasn't even right with God when I wasn't witnessing like I should, and all that stuff. And I'm telling you, that has nothing to do with your standing and your fellowship with God. Okay? Amen. Thank God. All right. He said, get up. Don't worry about it. Look at verse 21 and 22. So Peter went down and said, I'm the man you're looking for. Why have you come? They said, we are sent here by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message. Now, notice how Peter breaks more laws by inviting the Gentiles to stay in his house. That was a no-no, by the way. Look at verse 23 and 24. So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them and accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. They arrived at Caesarea in the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. God had called together a group of Gentiles, unbelievers, to be witnessed to supernaturally. That's what I want to happen, preacher. Well, I do too. You just be open to it and you'll see it. Okay? All right, look at verse 25 through 27. And Peter entered his house. Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him. By the way, I love that. When any preacher is kind of hinting around, you need to bow down to him, you leave that church. Okay? I'm not asking you to do that. Philip's not asking you to do that. Peter did handle this correctly. Hey, he said, get up. Peter pulled him up and said, stand up. I'm human just like you are. So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. Now you're going to see he's going to break another Old Testament law. You see, God is asking us to break some rules of the church.
Amen.
Come on. Well, but they might talk about me. Well, I talked about Jesus and Paul and Peter. Well, you'll be all right. Okay. Verse 28. Peter told them, you know it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile's home like this or to even associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. Hey, these people were not believers yet. And God's telling us not to see them as unclean and impure? Is God blind? No. Some of you are struggling with this. Well, I've got to believe before I'm forgiven. That's not true. Hang on. This is the part I told you. You're going to say, wait a minute now. Hey, I'm reading the Bible. This is not Carlton's opinion. Don't take my word on it. And Phillips. So I came without objection. He said, God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection. He's lied there. He did have some, didn't he? He said, no, Lord. I wasn't even going to eat the food first. Anyway, maybe he was straightened out, though, by that. Okay. As soon as I sent for, now tell me why you have sent for me. You see, God has shown me that I should no longer think of any unbelievers as unclean.
Right.
Wow. Look at this quote from Dan's small group. Dan, I don't remember if you said it or if somebody in the group said it. At that moment, Peter made a decision to move from living a mixed law, old new covenant life to accept that we are all one in Christ. Now see, this takes faith. Because you were raised as I was, that, well, we're in Christ, we're now right with God, we're now forgiven when I believe. You see, that's not true, and I'm going to prove it to you, but you're going to have to let the Holy Spirit teach you this, all right? We're preaching the good. Here's the mixture that I see today in the church of the gospel when we present the gospel. We're preaching the good news and stating, kind of like Peter, and he's going to say this in just a minute. He's going to tell them, and Peter was in error. Now, you're going to think, now, whoa, I'm saying the Bible's not true. I'm not saying that. I believe Peter was still growing, and he was wrong about what he's going to say. He's going to tell them in just a minute in his little sermonette that if you will believe and do what is right, then you can be forgiven. There's other scriptures that says otherwise. Aren't you glad God tells us the mistakes that these apostles made? Everything they say is not true. Peter said some things that was wrong. Paul confronted him one time about some things, about the meeting and that stuff. So anyway, just hang with me now. This is going to help you, I promise. Just listen, okay? He's going to say, if you believe and do what is right, God will accept you. He said, if you ask God to forgive you, then you're going to be forgiven. That's what the majority of you were raised believing. Right. And I'm going to tell you, it's not right. Now listen, don't say no, Lord. Some of you are saying no, Carlton. Don't shut God down. I'm going to show you from the Word, all right? All right, here's the prayer I want you to pray right now. Let's say this together. Lord, if this is truth, then Holy Spirit, continue to take me deeper into this finished work.
Amen.
If that's your prayer, God's going to take you deeper. If you shut it down in your head because that doesn't what I was taught, then you're going to shut it down, and that's okay. God's not going to be mad at you. I'm not going to be mad at you. Sometime down the road, you'll hear somebody else say the same thing. Holy Spirit will draw your attention to it again, and you're going to say, wow. Listen, grace, God's grace and truth is way bigger and has done way much more than you and I can even imagine. And this is perfect truth for this right here, okay? Cornelius had not believed on the Lord yet. I want you to see verse 15 again. But the voice spoke again. The voice is speaking today. Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. You see, God has cleansed the world of sins. Our John the Baptist predicted what Jesus was going to do at the cross. He said, behold the Lamb of God who comes and takes part of the sins away when you confess them. That's not what he said. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This was before you and I were ever born, by the way. Some of you look old, but not 2,000 years. So he took your sins before you were ever born, saw every one of them, and he's already dealt with them. Jesus Christ took sin's punishment upon himself, and he's done away with them. Now watch this. Whether they have believed it or not does not change the fact of what Christ has done. I love how Steve McVeigh put this. Look at this. We don't believe the gospel to make it true. We believe the gospel because it is true. It's very simple. Very simple. A millionaire can put his money in a mattress and live like a pauper. But that doesn't change the fact that he's a millionaire. Well, it changes the fact that he's not enjoying and experiencing his money. The unbeliever is just not experiencing what's been done for him. That's why they need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't go to him and say, well, if you'll just confess and you'll just do the ABCs of salvation and if you'll just do all this stuff, get baptized, then you can be forgiven. Nope, they're already forgiven. They're already, everything's been done. They just need to, by faith, believe it, you see.
Amen.
Wow. Until we believe it, though, it'll have no effect. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 basically says this very same thing. Okay? Sometimes they can hear the message, the good news, but then they don't experience it because they shut it down. So let's see that. Hebrews 4, 2. It says, for we also have heard the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they didn't share the faith of those who obeyed. And that word obey just simply means I'm believing what Christ did. I'm not going out and obeying every day trying to be right. That's not what that means. But they heard the message of the gospel, but it was no value to them because they didn't believe it. They didn't receive it and accept that. So when a person believes it, they start enjoying what Christ has done. Now here's what I believe is happening in our witnessing to other people under the mixture of law and grace. We say things like this: when you believe, then you're forgiven. Then God is not mad at you. Then you can be in the, quote, in group in the church. If you believe first, then you can partake of communion. I was raised in my denomination. We said that you don't want to bring sickness on yourself by taking communion. That's a bunch of baloney. As Philip pointed out, the first communion, Judas was at the table. Wow. We have said that if you're not baptized in our denomination, and if you better get your sins fessed up before you partake, and all that kind of stuff, and I'm telling you, that's just a bunch of man-made rules. Wow. Now listen, the good news is this: you are forgiven. God is not angry with you.
Amen.
Will you believe it so you can walk in all the fullness of what Christ has done? That's the good news. Okay, let's go on. Verses 30 through 33, just to paraphrase, Cornelius told Peter all of his vision that he had had, and he said, God wanted you to come, Peter. Now I'm ready to listen. Why? What's your word to me? Okay, let's see what Peter said, verse 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Hey, God had brought Peter from the point of thinking that this good news was just for the Jews, his in-group. The church, here's the church's version of that. We think the good news is just for those that have been saved. I mean, we say we don't believe that, but we do. Basically, he's talking to a person that hadn't believed yet. You see what he's saying? Okay, his speech starts off very correctly, but he then makes a blunder. As I said earlier, aren't you glad God shows us the things that they messed up on? Okay, look at this, verse 35. Peter said, in every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. You see, God accepts us not based on our understanding or our standing in awe of him. That word fear means to stand in awe, reverence him. And our acceptance is not based on whether I do what is right or not all the time. That's a good play for amen. You see, this statement that Peter makes does not align with other scriptures. For one of them, for example, is Ephesians 1:6. It says, to the praise, Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You see, we're accepted in Christ because of what Christ has done, not what I'm going to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Peter was still growing in this. He made some other statements we've talked about that really he didn't totally understand the full meaning of grace. He was getting there. You and I still make mistakes. But aren't you glad God still uses us in spite of us? Okay, verse 36. Then this is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord over all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism, verse 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39 and 40. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on the cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about. See, he's trying to point back to the Jewish tradition and so forth. So he said, he's the one that the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Do you see another slight error in Peter's definition here? Do you see it? Peter was not there yet. I keep saying that, but here he says Jesus came. He's going to forgive your sins if you believe. There are many other scriptures. Now listen, there are many other scriptures that teach this differently. Just because that's what Peter thought when he said that at this time does not make it just right. So you've got to interpret Scripture with other Scripture. All right? Now, if you don't believe that your sins are forgiven apart from you confessing them one at a time, then jot down these Scriptures. I'm going to give you three or four here. Are you ready? Some of you already know this, so you're not worried about it. You that aren't, I encourage you, don't go out of here saying that that's heresy. He's saying the Bible's not true. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that Peter said something that's not according to other New Covenant Scriptures, even though this was after the cross. Okay? All right, now listen. Colossians 2:13 says, "For all sins have been forgiven." Okay? Hebrews 10:17 says that he remembers our sins until we confess them. Nope. He remembers our sins no more. Psalms 103, even pointed before the cross, pointed to what Christ was going to do with our sins. I think it's verses 11 and 12, Psalm 103. He removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, not counting our transgressions against us. Okay, so don't get hung up on a verse like this where he says something, but clearly other scriptures state otherwise, okay? Now watch what happened when you teach people that their sins are forgiven. You see, I was saved under the mixture of law and grace. I was saved by thinking it was the ABCs, me admitting I'm a sinner, believing, and confessing. I had to get those three in order. You see, we make it into a formula. No, it's just by faith. I hear that I'm forgiven. Do I believe that or not? I just by faith believe it. And God helps my unbelief even. Okay? All right, but look what happens, though, when you preach the good news of Jesus Christ. I love this in verse 44. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. I love that. This country and the world is going to be amazed at who God's pouring His Spirit out upon. It's going to be people that you think cannot be right with God. Hey, don't call unclean what God has called clean. Wow, this is a big hurdle. I know. I jumped it and grabbed the top of the hurdle, looked over, and came back down. I said, wait a minute, Lord. No, they got to be saved first before they cleaned up. I'm just telling you, it's not right. For they heard him speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized? Now that they didn't go through a baptism class either, by the way. I'm not knocking. I'm sorry. I got to quit that. It's okay to talk about baptism and have some classes, okay? It's nothing wrong with that. But they didn't do that here, okay? They received the Holy Spirit just as we did. So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. Wow, what a cool story. Discussion, here we go. Some of you may need to go on another discussion path, and that's okay. But this might be an idea. What is the main point of Acts chapter 10? Please take time with your group to write out a one-sentence summary, not a paragraph or two. This is forcing you to say, what is the main story about here? Okay? Right? Talk to your group. Y'all jot down a sentence of what you think this whole chapter 10 is about, okay? What have you learned the most from today's message? Which kind of goes back to, I hope you learned what the point of this whole story was. So, all right, I'll be back in a few. Anybody on this side of the room got a one sentence? All right, hold it close.
God looks at everyone the same.
I like it. Simple. What about if they hadn't been saved? Anybody over here?
We didn't even get that far.
They didn't even get that far.
Our sentence that we came up with was, God's love and forgiveness purifies us whether we accept this love or not.
Wow.
There's no limitations to his power and his authority.
All right, say it one more time. These were misbehaving back here. All right, shh.
There's no limitations to his power or authority.
Wow. Y'all make the preacher do it.
No, I got two scriptures and then I say the sentence.
Okay.
You know, when you were teaching in Acts 10, 15 and 16, I saw something that I'd never seen in my life. You said, but the voice spoke again. Do not call something clean if God has made it clean.
Unclean. Unclean.
If God has...
Okay,
do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision was repeated three times. I thought about Jesus was in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights, then he arose. But this jumped out at me. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. What was in the sheet?
I don't know. I thought of the veil too.
No, but every unclean beast that was representing mankind was in the sheet that when he got up, when he rose from the dead, he pulled the sheet up to heaven.
The old self.
So Jesus justifies the ungodly.
That's right.
Woo-hoo. Wow.
Say it ain't.
There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine.
Oh,
yeah,
it's mine.
Is wrong. It was there from the foundation of the world.
Wow.
Every name.
Wow.
Yeah.
You see how a lot of the songs we've sang. You know.
There's nowhere in Scripture that it says that God writes our name in the book. Only that one day it could be removed because of our unbelief. But it was there before the foundation of the earth.
Hmm.
Every name.
That's it.
Woo-hoo! Wow.
That's it.
All right. Anything else jumps out at you today? Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't raise my hand.
He raised it for you.
Okay, Danny Phillip. It's okay to be a little slow to get the full grace and justification revelation, but God will use you anyway.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
I'm perfect proof of that. How many people have been saved under the preaching that I was preaching in a way that I was taught to preach, and God saves us anyway. So don't get bent out of shape with people that are slow to get understand this, because I was very slow. I wrestled before we started this church 3 years ago. I wrestled a good 3 years before that, and about a year and a half I wrestled it before I started preaching at the other church I was pastoring. And God was just so patient with me. So, anyhow, he's working whether we get it right or not. So,
one more point.
Okay. Hold it close.
And you saying that, if what you're delivering, as Peter, as you pointed out, has holes in it. But the ultimate, the climax of all that was when the Holy Ghost shows up, all untruth has to flee.
Right.
And nothing but the truth is there.
Amen.
What I learned about everyday walk, trying to be somebody else, just be yourself.
Oh.
And receive what God got for you.
Did y'all hear that?
Amen.
He said, just be yourself. Just be yourself. God will transform that self into something more beautiful the more you continue to focus on Him and the finished work of the cross. So, all right, I'm going to leave something pretty heavy on you. Heavier than I already have said. Some of you are struggling that you don't even see yourself right, much less somebody else right. And you're going to have a hard time grasping this message about the person that's not saved yet. If you still see yourself as not getting it right, I can't be holy, I can't, because of a behavior that you can't seem to overcome. How many Christians walk around feeling dirty, feeling condemned, because they can't seem to get their act together? Or maybe you were beaten down from the ground up a lot in your life, told you were a nobody by parents, by a coach, and that still comes back in your mind. And I'm telling you, you've got to squash those thoughts. And you've got to say, get behind me, Satan, when they rise in your mind. I'm telling you, focus on this message of grace and know that you're righteous, you're holy. God buried your old self before you were ever born. You're a new creation in Christ right now. Your behavior doesn't change who you are. That doesn't make you want to go sin and enjoy it at the same time. We've been accused of that. The grace preachers do. That's just not true. But begin to see yourself. Tell it out loud. I'm holy. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And I'm telling you, you'll now begin to see other people the way we've been talking about today. I don't know who that's for, but it was really heavy on my heart to say that. And I just want you to know I love you. I apologize to you, didn't you? You wanted to say something a while ago, and I forgot it, didn't you? Or did you?
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, the biggest message I think I took away from today was that we're going to have moments in our life where, I mean, it's almost like we have an established phone line with God. You can feel the aura, you can feel the environment that He's commanding you to do something. And it might be going to talk to a non-believer, but I think the biggest thing that I took away from this kind of reminded me of my academia. I've taught a few classes, and the biggest thing for a student that's struggling with material is if they ask you a question you don't really know, don't give them an answer. If you tell them something that's wrong or something that you think is right, and then they find out, that'll turn them off. So the biggest thing as a Christian, yes, remind them God does love them, but if they're struggling with something with their journey trying to come to Jesus, and you tell them something that you're not sure about yourself, and they find it out in their own life that what you just told them is not true, you're basically providing a barrier for them, turning them away from the church. And ultimately, I think with us, even with believer to believer, I mean, a lot of us are in this room because we were judged. And that judgment brought all of us here, the church itself. You know, we can talk about week in and week out, why is the church, you know, ultimately falling apart? Why are people going away from the church? And it's the aura of judgment. Well, think about that. That's between believer and believer. So how is it for a non-believer when they're trying to look at the modern day example that's being set? So I think ultimately is, if you truly don't know something,
Say I don't know.
Yeah. And
that's okay. I say that all the time.
Yeah, and that's to me, that was the important message here.
Right.
I think with Peter, with what he was saying to the people was necessary. It's just like whenever you know, we talk about the church of Galatia, or talk about Galatians all the time. You got to understand the audience that Peter or Paul or whoever was preaching was talking to. At that time with Galatia, it was just the Jews. And it was basically a pep talk, like, look, you guys got to step your game up. Now, at that time, he was not talking to all the Gentiles. And that's also, you got to read the whole book. Don't just read a scripture to really understand, because you can find things like we saw today in chapter 10, where if you just look at that one piece of scripture, wait a minute, that says I got a do list. I got to fulfill something. And if you don't look at it with respect to the whole chapter to truly understand the people, then you will be misguiding those people that you're trying to bring to the cross, or at least point them to Jesus.
Right. Well, in my book, I've revised the book. I first thought that all of our sins were forgiven when we were saved. In other words, yeah, I knew they were paid for, but they really weren't forgiven until we were saved. So my book has that connotation through it. So you that read that, just take it deeper. If you get it online now, it's corrected, as best I know now. I'll know something a year later that I didn't know now. That's what grace is doing. It's taking us deeper and deeper and deeper. So when you see anywhere in Scripture that, like Peter, it says you got to do something for that to occur, then you realize that, see, that's not right. And that's what I'm finding. I used to think, some of you are going to struggle with this statement, we'll get on a little deeper, that everybody's already in Christ. That doesn't mean we're benefiting from it. That doesn't mean we're saved. That's the difference in universalism. But everything's been done. Will we by faith believe it? Anyway, God's taking us deeper. Some of y'all may not be here next week. I don't know. We'll see. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a great week.